Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We've got some great listener questions headed your way, including a question about how to prioritize fireworks and parade viewing at night at Walt Disney World. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7, we are down in the teens. 19 days to go until we head down to Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter Resort for some pre-cruise fun. And right now, as I look at my phone, I see the Gaston statue back in the new Fantasyland at the Magic Kingdom staring back at me. You can do the same. Get excited for that next Disney vacation. Every time you get a text, place a phone call, or check your social media, it's right there, and it's getting you pumped for that next trip. So check it out today. These and other great iPhone apps will turn your Apple device into a Disney device. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1184 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. You're halfway through your week, and we know that it is a scorcher here in the United States this week. Hopefully you're staying cool and taking the Be Our Guest podcast with you wherever you go this summer. We travel well. We travel light. Take us to the pool. Take us on a road trip. Take us on a run. But make sure you run nice and early in the morning so you don't get too hot out there. So you know why you're here. You're here to hear some listener questions, and that is what we're doing today. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
You know, it's hot. I really wish I was swimming in a pool right now, but I am not. So, boo.
But we're here to talk Disney. Does it get any better than that on a Wednesday? Really, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. So I'm excited to be here.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel Home of the world champion Pittsburgh Penguins. What's up, Pam?
The back-to-back.
That's right, back-to-back.
World champion, yeah. Pittsburgh Penguins. Like the sound of that. And I will just say that the Penguins and hockey players in general are usually pretty easy teams to root for because they're typically such nice guys, and the Penguins are no exception. I know some people know that Steve works for the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, and they have a huge children's hospital, and these guys do all kinds of work for the kids there in the hospital and also all kinds of fundraising activities. So anyways, they're great guys. Love seeing them win, and just looking forward to next year. See what happens then.
That's right. You know, hockey season, that's the thing about hockey season. It'll be here before you know it. I think they start up again in September. It's ridiculous. They get no off season. If you win the cup, man, you're just like playing year round. It's nuts.
They get to go on vacation and then they're back.
Exactly. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's just nuts. Anyway, you're not here to hear Stanley Cup talk. We are here to talk Disney. We're leading it off with a question from Ashley, who's down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. WPS to Ashley and her friends. She says, "Hey, Mike and the gals, I've written to you a few times and before, and have even mentioned that I'll be down in Florida in the fall for the Disney College program." She says, "Yay." "Well, I have also mentioned that my family and boyfriend will be visiting a few times. I think part of the reason they want to visit is that now I can get them discounts, but I don't blame them. And so I have also mentioned that it will be my boyfriend's first time to Disney World. I don't know how he has made it this long without ever going. He even thought Disneyland was in Florida. So he's a major newbie to Disney. He will only be in Florida for a few days each time when he visits, so he's letting me plan what we should do. I know him well, so I know not to push some things compared to others. He doesn't have the Disney nostalgia like me, so characters, parades, and super historical things are more up his alley, or up more up my alley. He loves things that are technologically advanced or super efficient. We're both logistics majors in school, so efficiency is our jam. Example, I explained the Disney Springs parking garage to him and he geeked out. The idea that a parking garage could tell you which spots are open before going up there was super cool. So I looked to y'all for ideas of what I should plan for us to do. I have a few ideas, such as Pandora for the advanced audio animatronics, Star Tours because he is a Star Wars geek and loves simulation attractions, and Tower of Terror for the intricate ride mechanism and detailed queue. But I'm sure you all can think of more ideas. Thank you so much. Sincerely, Ashley. So Ashley, it's funny. This is the first question we've got where the parking garage at Disney Springs is your jam. That's that just cracks me up. That's their jam. So yeah, any other? I heard the parking lot over at All Star Music is pretty sweet. No, just kidding. I have to give her a hard time because she's a Razorbacks fan. So anyway, I would say, so I'm going to throw in some things for folks that are looking for things along those lines. So if you're looking at like the ride mechanism of Tower of Terror, I would say something similar to that would be Soarin', because you can kind of see how Soarin' is a movie theater, but it's also a very unique way to suspend the guests, move the guests, introduce smells and sounds very closely to the guest. I think that's something for somebody who's into logistics and engineering. Soarin' would be an attraction where, you know, if you're not necessarily looking at the screen the whole time, if you're kind of looking around where you're not really supposed to be, you can see a lot of cool technology happening to make this whole experience unfold in front of you. So, Ricky, what would you suggest? What other kind of things like that?
Well, you know, kind of going along with that, but, you know, and Flight of Passage is also very similar to that. It's got unique kind of technology with that. You know, something that kind of came to mind as far as technologically speaking is at this point going to be something like the AAs in maybe Frozen Ever After, or if you're looking for like kind of like the progression of AAs. So you have like the AAs in Pirates of the Caribbean, and the auctioneer was one of the most advanced AA at one time, and then you go to the Wicked Witch in Great Movie Ride, and that was the most advanced AA, and then you go to Frozen Ever After, and you have the projected faces. Same thing with Snow White or the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So I think like watching the progression of, you know, it takes the history and the technology all in one. So I got both of them in.
That's good because, you know, she's getting her nostalgia. He's getting his, you know, kind of engineering stuff, which is fun.
Exactly.
Everybody's having a good time. So, Pam, what would you say? What other kind of things would, you know, appeal to somebody who's not a nostalgic, but just, wow, that's cool how that happens.
So I think some of the interactions with My Disney Experience and your Magic Band and all of that is a huge thing to look at. I mean, of course, the My Disney Experience app and all the things that you can do there, although the app is sometimes quirky, it's still really the first of its kind when you think about it in terms of, you know, a theme park and all the things that it can do. But when you ride attractions like It's a Small World and it greets you at the end with the name that you're registered with in terms of your My Disney Experience account, that's a huge technological piece to think about. Also, when you're thinking about like on Seven Dwarfs, the way you get a little video of you riding that attraction in your Memory Maker, the Memory Maker part of your app, and on your, you know, you can download and things like that. If you've purchased Memory Maker, that's something to think of too. But that Magic Band does a lot of cool things. From when you enter the parks, it may flash a different color or make a sound or do something like that because of whether you're an annual pass holder, Disney Vacation Club member, or some other bit of information to, you know, all the things that it interacts with in the parks and the things that it can tell the cast member about you when you're checking in, you know, things like that. If you have a dining plan, the fact that that's all encoded on your Magic Band is, I think, is something to geek out about, really. You know, there's just lots of things to explore with that app. And maybe you or your boyfriend can help make that app even better.
While you were talking, I thought of one more really unique thing. And again, this gets to kind of the you know, she said they didn't like the meet and greet things, but seriously, go do the Mickey Mouse meet and greet at Main Street, because Mickey talks. So that's going to be something that you're going to want to do. That totally is technologically very cool.
Good tip. Real quick, because I want to get to other questions. But Pam, I know you shared this this video from one of the cruise lines. It wasn't Disney Cruise Line, but it kind of talked about, the headline was just how you open a stateroom door. but kind of in a way that it's, you know, all these entertainment industries kind of copy each other. You know, Royal Caribbean has things that are akin to the Magic Band system, you know, because Disney came up with that, you know, and they're all just kind of modifying and switching and improving. Do you want to tell like how, like outside, the, like the door, you didn't even have to open it because of proximity with something you were wearing. And plus how it had basically like an agenda outside the door instead of like the room number. It was almost like an iPad was mounted there. I mean, that kind of stuff really gets me excited because that might be what Walt Disney World has in 10 years.
Well, and that's the great thing about, like, for instance, Royal Caribbean, in terms of they have interactive boards located throughout the ships that kind of help you plan your days, the map, kind of figure out what's around you, and even access some of your account things from these locations. So, I mean, that's a cool thing. I can't even remember the one I shared with the group, though, so help me out with that one.
Well, it just looked like what happened was instead of, you know, if you've ever been on a cruise, the doors are kind of heavy and bulky, but when it basically sensed when you didn't have to put your band or any, I didn't even know if they were wearing bands. They had some kind of indicator on them where when you got within a couple feet, the door just unlocked and you just basically pushed it open like it was just a regular old door. But outside the door where you would normally see like on the Disney Cruise Line, like the fish, you know, hook thing where you hang your fish extender, it was basically like an iPad screen that would, you know, tell you, hey, you know what, this is what's happening this evening, you know, or, you know, welcome back to the room, Mike and Pam, you know, or whatever. It was, you know, it was very individualized, very personalized, and it kind of took it to the next level because you wouldn't think of that. But, you know, I could see that happening at Walt Disney World, say in 5 years, where, you know, instead of having the room number, because you could put that on the screen, but you could also make it dynamic and changing all the time. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's what all these companies are looking for. They're looking for ways to help personalize that experience and make it something that you're looking for. And I think the way to do that is by taking technology and embracing it. I mean, they already have the information there. They might as well use it to help you have a better experience.
So. That's right. One other thing I would say, go on a tour, either the steam trains tour, the, you know, any tour, you know, especially Keys to the Kingdom. That's the cool stuff. You get, you know, peek behind the curtain. So do that too. All right, Connor's got the next question. Dear Mike, Pam, and Ricky, my wife and I are huge fans of the podcast. We love all the new information we have learned because of your hard work and dedication. We look forward to every new episode. Thanks so much, Connor. We're planning our first New Year's Eve trip to the world. We're currently booked 7 nights in a Little Mermaid room at Art of Animation. However, we're considering a split stay at Pop Century and Port Orleans French Quarter. When listening to episode 1002, Quantifiable Disney, we were trying to think like you. Is it worth the extra $236 to stay 4 nights at the French Quarter for the queen-sized bed? Or should we just complete our entire stay at Art of Animation in a double bed? We've never stayed at any of these resorts, so your opinion is much appreciated. Thank you and keep up the great work. Connor is over in Illinois. All right, so basically he's asking, I remember that show we did, you know, is this worth that? Is it worth $236 for 4 nights to go from that double bed at Art of Animation to a queen bed at French Quarter? Because again, when you go to French Quarter, you're not just getting the queen bed, you're getting better amenities, better location. So Pam, would you go $236 for Connor here to get that bigger bed?
I would. I'm just telling you. And here's one of the things I was thinking about. And I was thinking about this the last time I was at Walt Disney World. So you get so tired when you're at Walt Disney World just because you're on the go all the time. You really aren't relaxing a lot of the time, whatnot. I think your comfort and being able to sleep is a huge part of having a successful trip. And for me, I want that queen size bed. I want to be able to sleep well. It's not that we can't sleep in a double bed. It's just that if it's going to impact my sleep at all, I'm paying the money for it, period, end of story. So.
Yeah, because I think you can't nail it down to say, what's 236 divided by 4? Okay, is it worth, you know, X amount of dollars each night just for the bed? Because you're not just getting the bed. You're getting a total new experience. You're getting, you know, a different theme, kind of a more subtle theme, but a very rich theme. You have boat service to Disney Springs now, which opens up more dining options for those 4 nights. You have a resort that has one bus stop. You know, and it has really good bus service. Everything's walkable within that resort very easily. So I would say, I don't know if I would say $236 is worth it just for the bed, but you're not just getting the bed. As the whole picture, I would say if you can swing it, I would do it. So what do you say, Ricky?
Yeah, I mean, I am, you know, obviously one of the cheaper people. So, I mean, I, you know, if I had the option of saving the money, I mean, I might, but I really do think that they, I mean, I will say that those beds are very small. So, you know, if it's going to mean better happiness overall, then it might be worth it to spend the money. So, you know, it just really depends on how well you sleep, really. You know, if you think you can manage in, you know, the beds that they have at Artem Animation, then, you know, that's fine. But if you are someone who, you know, really needs to get good sleep and you don't think that you'll be able to get good sleep in those kind of beds, then, you know, yeah, I would spend the money.
All right. And let us know how it goes. We'll be down there maybe at New Year's Eve. But, you know, a split stay is also fun. You get two different experiences, which I think, you know, is totally worth giving it a shot. And they haven't said it either, so there you get two new experiences. All right, Samantha's got the next question. She says, hi, Mike. Myself and my husband are counting down the days until our trip on the 19th of August this year. We're in Disney for 7 days and allocating one full day to Disney's Hollywood Studios with a break in the middle. Although we have been to the world multiple times, we've never seen Fantasmic. We wanted to hit the attractions with a longer wait first thing after rope drop and then use our Tier 1 Fast Pass for Fantasmic. Do you think this would be a good idea? I've read loads of conflicting things online about what a nightmare it is to get into Fantasmic, and I don't want to waste a FastPass if we're going to be waiting an hour either way. Any advice would be much appreciated. Best wishes, Sam. And she says, thanks. P.S. Thanks so much for answering my Animal Kingdom Pandora question a few months ago. We decided to take a midday break as you suggested. All right. So what do you say, Pam, to using a FastPass for Fantasmic? Is it worth it? Does it help you avoid kind of, because Fantasmic does, it has a load issue, especially in the busy times of the year. What do you think?
So for me, because there are other attractions at Hollywood Studios that I know are going to eat up my Tier 1 Fast Pass, I would be more inclined to do one of the dining packages. And I will say, especially because Hollywood and Vine is the same price with or without the Fantasmic dining package. And this summer, they also are offering Hollywood and Vine as and all with the Pixar too. Like, you get to have preferred seating in both. So that's something that you're really going to want to consider. And honestly, that's what I would do, because, you know, it's going to get you that seating in that location. And I think that it's worth it if what your goal is to be able to see Fantasmic with the least pain in the butt.
And I agree. I agree with that, because I think the thing you got to remember too is that when you take that nighttime show as one of your fast passes, you've just now committed to only three fast passes for that entire day. No rolling passes.
Yes. It's absolutely true. So it's just, you know, it's just something to think about in that space. And it really doesn't cost you any extra to do it at Hollywood and Vine. Now at, you know, at Mama Melrose and Brown Derby, which are the other two choices for the Fantasmic dining package, you pay a set price and you get to order an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert, which is not what you might typically do at those restaurants. But still, depending on what you order, it can still be a decent value. And I know there was, you know, plenty of time that my husband in particular really didn't like waiting in lines, just didn't really have the patience for it. And I would pay to do these things like crazy, because it kept him happy. And it gave us the opportunity to see one of these shows without, you know, with minimal pain and wait. So that's what I would suggest.
Good deal. So, Ricky, what about you? Is the pain too much to not have a fast pass or a dining package for Fantasmic? Or is it overhyped in the Disney community as far as the loading of Fantasmic?
I mean, I'm probably the worst person to ask this question, because I really don't see Fantasmic. I think the last time I saw it was when my brother worked over at Fantasmic, and we didn't have any trouble getting in. Like, it wasn't because he worked there. It was just like, we didn't have any trouble loading, and I don't remember there being any trouble with the coming out of the theater either. Although, yeah, I don't remember any trouble with that either. So, you know, I don't, I mean, I think if you're seated maybe all the way to the bottom, like, then, yeah, you may have to wait a little bit to exit. And the theater is really far back, just so you know. Like, you have to walk a pretty good ways to get to the theater and out. So just kind of know that. But, you know, I think that if you're worried about, like, you know, getting out quickly, I would sit maybe, if you could, toward the back of the theater. I mean, that would be, if that's something that you're super concerned about, that would be what I would do. But, you know, I mean, I think I'd be like with Pam, what Pam said, I would do the dining package instead. I wouldn't use the fast pass, let's put it that way.
Yep. I think we're all in agreement. Do the dining package. You're going to eat anyway. Have a good meal, have a show, and you'll be set. All right. Next question comes from Beth. She says, hi, Mike and gang. Don't forget to mention that Donna is fun Aunt Donna and not crazy Aunt Donna. This is my sister-in-law's friend over in Illinois. I wanted to write and tell you a couple of things and also ask one question at the end. First of all, I recently visited Marceline, Missouri and loved it. We went to the Walt Disney Hometown Museum, Walt's Dreaming Tree area, the original Main Street USA, saw the Uptown Theater, the elementary school where Walt had murals painted, and the local park named after him. Bruce, her husband, bought me a commemorative brick, which is in the pavement outside of the museum. It was so much fun, and I suggest it for any diehard Disney fan if you happen to be in the area. And I echo that every single thing. Spend a day in Marceline if you ever get to the Midwest. It's right in the dead center of Missouri. It's out in the middle of nowhere, about 2 hours from Kansas City, about 3 hours from St. Louis, but it's pretty amazing. She also says, thanks to listening to you all, I've scheduled a haircut for both myself and Bruce for our November trip. I'm pretty sure I've never had a haircut scheduled that far in advance. I'm also very excited to experience the Harmony Barbershop. So look at that. We should get a cut on these things that people book because of us.
Right?
You know, we get like $2, but you know, what can you say? My question is this. For our November trip, on our Animal Kingdom Day, we plan to use 2 fast passes for the 2 new Pandora attractions and thought that we would use the other for Rivers of Light. After doing a bit of research, we have instead decided that we would like to try a dinner package for Rivers of Light. That way, we can use the third fast pass for a different attraction and then hopefully get a 4th pass, fast pass, etc. So, when will the schedule be released for Rivers of Light in November? Should I make an ADR now for the restaurant we want to dine, or should I wait until the schedule is released? Thanks for all you guys do to keep us informed of everything new going on at our favorite place. All right, Pam, so a couple things here. First of all, I believe, and don't, because I had to do this on our trip for next month, that you can't get both Pandora, or you can't get both Flights of Passage and the Navi River Journey because they're in 2 different tiers, correct?
So you can only choose one from tier. In Animal Kingdom, there's really not tier 1 and tier 2, although that's what people have been calling them. There's really only both of the Pandora rides are in the same tier, and you can't choose those on the same day. So that's really the rule with that.
So basically, they're getting you to go back 2 days to do 2 attractions.
They do. Yeah. They absolutely have to go for 2 days if they want to fast pass both attractions.
And the other thing I was going to say is that you also have to choose one of the 2 attractions, I believe, for Pandora. You can't, like, because it's kind of tiered, you know, I know it's not, it is, but it isn't. You don't have the option of basically not choosing a Pandora attraction.
I think you can.
I thought that you couldn't. So if you can, let me know. But I thought you had to choose 1 Pandora attraction and then 2 additional attractions.
So.
All right.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. You're the one who made the fast passes, so I didn't
know. Yeah.
No, they would want you to not. I would think they would want some folks to just, you know, go Everest, Kilimanjaro Safari, and Cali River Rapids. You know, that would spread out the crowd.
Let me play with it while we're doing it here. So,
but that's something to know, especially for everybody, because this is all new. And you know, hopefully, if you're planning your first time since Pandora's been open, which a lot of people are, that's good to know. Now, she's asking about the Rivers of Light dining package. Good call. Saves you the fast pass. That's what Pam has advocated here for the last month or so, but we don't know right now. I believe, and at least this was as of a couple days ago, it's out currently through September, the Rivers of Light dining package, not through the rest of the year. But I would imagine, Pam, this has to happen soon. And this is kind of the same case that we talked about earlier, where you're going to want to wait and book that as a package. You can't really just book Tiffin's and then add it on, or Tusker House and add it on, correct?
Yeah, you have to book it as that package. Now, if you're going to eat at this restaurant, whether you have the Rivers of Light dining package or not, go ahead and make the reservation now. But typically what happens with Disney is they do release these special dining packages after regular reservations have been released. So that's just the way it's been going for us. It drives our agents crazy because we know that our guests are really interested in that and they want to reserve them for them, but they're not always available.
Yeah, that's one of those things. I wish they, you know, it's got, I keep saying it's got to be any day for the rest of the year on those Rivers of Light dining packages, but I think I've been saying that for a month now, you know, because people are anxious to book that.
I know, believe me.
Anyway, we'll get it. We'll get there eventually. You know, it's only what, in the middle of June now. Anyway, right.
They're only $1 billion company. Exactly. Like, come on, what do you expect?
It's killing me. I know. It's like, I know. We want to book 2018 too. It's coming soon. All right.
Anyway, I think they'd have someone set aside who could just like do, okay, we're releasing the 180 days in advance. Well, here's all the special dining packages too. I mean, that person would earn their keep for sure.
So. Seriously.
Okay, I have a follow-up to my original thing. You can make 3 fast passes that are not Navi River Journey or
I'm like, when you said that, I'm like, girl, I have never heard that anywhere.
I swore that was the case, but that's the way they make it look on the stupid thing. So, okay, I just totally made 3 fast passes that none of them were Pandora related. So, all right.
That makes sense, though, because they're going to want to spread the crowds out of you. And if they didn't do that, that'd be silly. You know, like, they want to get the people who are not in the know. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was weird too, but I thought at first, so that was all.
All right, let's get to Eric's question. He says, hi gang, longtime listener, third time question asker guy. I like that. My friends want me to go with them to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween this year on my brief weekend food and wine trip on October 13th. I'm not a parade kind of guy, and the price seems steep for fireworks and character meets, but I was into the idea for the ability to go on all the rides with shorter than usual waits, especially since it's a very short trip and maybe my only visit this year. I checked the ride list for previous years and was happy to see all the headliners. However, when I looked at this year's list, I noticed that 2 of the 4 headliners were left off, no Big Thunder or Splash Mountain. I can't imagine them cutting back on the attractions that much. It's like having a pool party at your house but closing the deep end and diving board, or throwing a picnic and only turning on 2 burners on the grill. Do these lists change? That's cracking me up. That's a great
visual.
I like that. That's great. Just take away the diving board and the deep end. Do these lists change? Do you think they will add those attractions back? I'm 50% in, 50% out for this event. $99 seems a bit steep right now, but one of them coming back on the list might push me back into the in category. I've been going to Walt Disney World yearly, but never attended a special event. Thanks, Eric. That's so funny about having a pool party, but closing the deep end and taking away the diving board. That's a great analogy. Now, Ricky, I know there was a lot of hubbub online. I saw you kind of in the middle of it when they announced the attractions list, but I believe it has been modified since this email, correct?
It has. So I can tell you that Big Thunder and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train are now on the list, I believe. However, Splash Mountain is not on the list. And the reason that is because Splash is actually closed for refurbishment. So that will not come on the list no matter what. So you're not going to get to ride Splash during the party. I'm sorry.
So you're getting your diving board back, but you're not getting your deep end. So what good's that do? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to jump off the diving board without a deep end. You know, so I don't know. Maybe you got one burner on the grill. I don't know how his analogies are working out. Pam, should he go? I mean, without Splash Mountain, and he's not a parade kind of guy. I love this guy. He's cracking me up.
Well, Splash Mountain's only one of the headliners, so since it's going to be down anyway, I think I'll give Disney a pass on this one and let them go ahead with that. But I think it's worth it. I understand you're not a parade or fireworks kind of person, but I will just say those fireworks may wow you a little bit. Be prepared. Like, don't be shocked if you walk away from that being like, dang, those fireworks were good. So I'm just saying, it's not just fireworks. Like, don't think of the 4th of July at your local community. No. It's not anything like that.
Is it going to be, though, instead of it being Hollow Wishes, is it going to be Hollow Happy Ever After? Like a big old
Let's
one word.
Let's hope. And if it is that, you better go see it, because are fantastic. Happily Ever After, woo! So anyway, they're so good. So good. My favorite fireworks show. And I really liked Wishes. So
I can't wait. Ooh, less than 3 weeks. I'm pumped. All right. Liz is up next. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I've been listening for roughly a year now and really appreciate all the information and magic you bring to my week. We While we currently have no trips booked to Walt Disney World, my sister and I pretty much have determined we'll be returning next year at some point. Our family usually stays in one of the Epcot area resorts, but my sister is determined to stay in her dream resort of the Polynesian for this trip. We also have foregone renting a car on our past few trips and have been relying on Disney transportation for the most part. A couple of questions. Number one, aside from a longer commute to Epcot and a quicker one to the Magic Kingdom than we're used to, are there any other major travel differences to the parks from the Polynesian? Now, remember that she's coming from usually staying at either Boardwalk Beach or Yacht. She's usually Epcot area. The one thing I will say about deluxe resorts with Disney transportation, and I say this not ever staying at the Polynesian, the Contemporary, or the Grand Floridian, but staying at Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom's different, but staying at Wilderness Lodge and Yacht and Beach and Boardwalk, those deluxe resorts tend to share buses, and that drives me crazy because when I stay at Pop Century, I don't share a bus. When I stay at Riverside, I don't share a bus. You know, maybe at French Quarter sometimes. Coronado Springs doesn't share a bus. So I'm not a fan of taking the bus to the parks where you have to ride a bus. Now, of course, the Polynesian, you got a monorail to get you to the Magic Kingdom and to Epcot. I don't know, Pam, how do you feel? I know you guys don't use Disney transportation, but just in general with how that works, will she be happy if she's used to taking Disney transportation from the Epcot area resorts? How's that going to translate moving over to the Polynesian?
So it's challenging for me just because, you know, we don't use Disney transportation that often, so don't incur this. I do like the Epcot resorts in that I can walk to Hollywood Studios and also to Epcot. Now, if you usually take the boat to either one of those, then I don't think your transportation time is going to be all that different, because that boat from the Epcot area resorts over to Hollywood Studios is like the slow boat from China. It is super slow. So anyways, that's something to think about. Plus, you know, it takes a while to get to each resort and other things like that. So, you know, that's something to think about. But I just, you know, I think sometimes, especially for folks who are much more patient than I, embracing the transportation is part of the fun of the vacation. I mean, you know, and that's something to think about with that. I personally love the Polynesian. As much as I love the Epcot resorts, there's a special place in my heart for the Polynesian because it is so themed. It is one of the most themed resorts on Disney property. I think besides Wilderness Lodge and maybe Animal Kingdom Lodge, the Polynesian's right up there in terms of theming. It is just such a cool place. It has lots of cool features. You can walk over to the Grand Floridian. You can take the boats to certain locations. I mean, that's something I really like. So put those down in the pro categories for that resort.
All right, she's got a second question. Pam, you can probably help out with this one too. She says, I've been looking at the resort map and was wondering if it's more convenient to stay in certain buildings than others. If so, is there a way to request the building your room is in for your trip? Thanks for your help and all you do. Liz is in Bloomberg, Pennsylvania, and she puts in parentheses, no mic. That is nowhere near Pam. So apparently she's on the other side of the Keystone State, I guess. I don't know. She knows I was going to ask, Pam, is that by you? But no, it's not. So, Pam, so you stayed at the Polynesian. You've got experience there. Is there a certain building that you tend to really enjoy or look forward to because of, you know, X or Y, you know, some kind of reason?
So I think, honestly, what I typically do when I stay at the Polynesian is I don't put a room request down, because I've stayed in buildings that I didn't think I'd like, and then I stayed there, and I was like, oh, I like it here. So for one reason or another, there was something I didn't think of. Check out the map over on the Mouse for Less. If you go to the resort page, we have the maps on the Mouse for Less there too. You'll be able to go ahead and click on that and see if there's one building that appeals to you for one reason or another. And it can be, you know, those are totally personal requests. So, I mean, you know, something that appeals to you may not appeal to me. If you have one that you think you'd like to stay in, you can absolutely put that down as a request. Just have your travel agent note that on the reservation, or if you're dealing directly with Disney, you can go ahead and call them and have that noted on your reservation.
And Disney will always say this is a request, not a guarantee, but I will tell you what, they always do the very best they can to accommodate those requests. It can't always happen, but when you put it on there and you butter them up, you know, you catch, what they say, you catch more flies than honey with honey than with vinegar. You know, just butter them up and do the best you can. And also remind them kindly of that requested check-in too. That's your best bet.
Yeah, because the requests don't always download properly. Exactly. People would be surprised to know this, but there are different back-end systems, and I don't even want to get into it all, but yes, remind them at check-in.
All right, next question is actually a follow-up. She says, okay, a response, but still. Hey, guys, love your show, but needed to give a correction to your Uber info from the last show. Uber does have a car seat option, which is called Uber Family. Unfortunately, I found out on my last trip that the availability of these cars is pretty sparse at times like meals, not to mention that if the demand is high, the price goes up. I was quoted $35 just to go from Pop Century to the Polynesian on a Wednesday morning. My advice would be to not rely on it for your transportation if you need a car seat. Anyway, I just wanted to give some personal experience and say thanks for putting out a great show. That's from Jess in Richmond, Virginia. So, Ricky, that's kind of a follow-up from, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were talking about getting around with Uber, but specifically when you had to have a car seat and you had a family, because, and that makes sense, because I could imagine, you know, I've never seen an Uber with a car seat, but I didn't know there was something called Uber Family. It sounds like it's a, you know, kind of like Uber X or, you know, they have the different kinds of cars you can request, like depending on your party size.
Yeah, I mean, when you log into the Uber app, I mean, it shows you a bunch of different options that you can choose from. So it's good to know that that is an absolute option that people can choose if they would like to. But as she said, you know, might be a little expensive to do that. So the cab may be your better option. And if that's an option, because I think you can call, you know, and get a cab with car seat. But
and I think that actually they only... From what I've heard, they will only have one car seat in them. You cannot get Uber Family with two. At least that's what I've been told by many experienced Uber users. So I think that that was something. As I recall, that question asked about two kids. Yep. And I think that that may be why we said that. So anyways, but if we're wrong, please write in and tell us again, because we want to make sure we're given the correct information.
Yeah, but could you imagine, like, I know that a lot of times when we're traveling with the gardeners, you know, there's seven of us, we'll get two Ubers instead of getting the big Uber. We'll just get two regular Ubers and we'll basically have what we call an Uber race. Like, we'll both hit our app at the same time and see whose car gets there first and try to race back to the hotel. But, you know, it's just kind of a fun game that we always play. But if you were doing that in this situation and it was $35 to get to Pop Century for, or to the Polynesian from Pop, I mean, $70, that's not worth it. I mean, you could almost get a limo ride for that. That's crazy. So, not a good option.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, time for the last question of the day. It comes from Rachel. She is up in Lancaster, New York. Says, hi, we are talking about heading back to Disney World for 2 to 3 days in February because we didn't see some things that we really wanted to see. I just need your opinion because we have never done a short trip. They've always been 7 to 9 days. We would be there from February 22nd to the 24th. We would do Animal Kingdom to see Pandora on the 22nd and then Magic Kingdom on the 23rd to see the new fireworks show with a good spot. Unless they announce that Pixar Place will be opening, then I have a whole new can of worms to sort through. The 24th would be a resort pool day until about noon. Then we begin our 24-hour drive home. Woohoo! 24-hour drive. That's too much for me. Any tips to get the most out of two-day parks trip? So, Ricky, this is going to be right up your alley. So they're trying to get tips to get the most out of 2 days in the park on this very short trip. We are bouncing between staying in the Little Mermaid rooms at Art of Animation one last time before the little one turns three and we can't. This is what the kids want to do. Or staying at a monorail resort to cut down on travel times to and from the Magic Kingdom. We have five in our family, so we'll be stuck with the art suites, music suites, Riverside, or one of the other moderate resorts in the future. So the thought of doing one last time in a standard room would be nice. I always wanted to stay at the Polynesian, but as a family of five, I don't know if that's even possible. Are we nuts to think that this is possible and it'll still be enjoyable? I wouldn't make any dining plans so we can eat on the run. Is that going to be a bad time to go? This is when the kids have winter break in New York. I don't know about anywhere else. Thanks, Rachel. All right, so Ricky, talk to this real quick about a quick, you know, she's going to be there for only 3 days. Sounds like February 22nd to the 24th. So if that's Martin Luther King week, though, that could be, that's that Martin
February?
Luther King. No, that'd be President's Day. You're right. No. That'd be President's Day the weekend. The crowds can get high.
And it's Princess.
Yeah, I was going to say, when's Princess too? Yeah, so, the crowds could be high. This is not going to be a low crowd season, which is, you know, not very much around anymore at all. But this could be a really, you know, almost like a middle of the summer type crowd level, I would say. But you know, I don't want to discourage anybody from going. What do you say to make the most out of a quick trip, Ricky? Because they can't, you know, take their leisurely time like 7 to 9 days like they normally do when they have 2 days in the parks.
Yeah. So I think having a plan is going to be super key. And it sounds like she's got a good idea of what they want to do. So, you know, just pick out the few things that they absolutely have to hit. And I think you'll be okay. So that's my suggestion. You know, I think that by picking those few things out and knowing, obviously, you're not going to hit everything that you know, would like to see in, or would normally see in like a 7 to 9 day trip. I think you're going to have a nice time. Just like you said, know that the crowds may be increased just a little bit. But if you're staying on property, you can make your fast passes 60 days in advance. So that's going to give you a leg up as well. So I think you can still have a great time. I mean, I make those short trips all the time. But then again, I, you know what I want to hit and know that I'm going to be coming back soon, too. So, like, that's my reasoning for taking short trips.
Well, and I know Rachel's a frequent traveler. Like, she knows her stuff, so she knows exactly what to do. Sounds like she's got a great plan. Like, she wants to see Pandora. She's very specific in what she wants to see, fireworks shows. So I'm sure she'll have a great plan. She'll know exactly, check this off. So I'm comfortable with her there. Now, let me ask you this, Pam. She's really got a quandary here, because part of me wants to say stay in the Art of Animation Little Mermaid room, because this is the last chance you can do that. And it's not going to be it's going to be a super tight squeeze, but it's going to be a super tight squeeze for 3 days. But then again, staying at the Polynesian and being able to get to the Magic Kingdom in 10 minutes rather than 40, I wouldn't think you would be going back to the resort at all on this kind of a trip, like midday. What do you say to that kind of situation?
Oh, man. You know, though, the benefit of staying at maybe the Polynesian is that you would spend some time at the resort and you would get some time to relax. And I think on a Disney vacation, that's something that we just don't do enough of. But when I look back on days that I really enjoyed, I can say that a day I laid by the pool is usually a day that I can put up there in the memory bank of things that I really enjoyed and or needed. So, I mean, that's something to think about, too. I will say that I've stayed at the Little Mermaid rooms. Hannah and I actually went down without Steve and stayed in one for, I think it's just a night or two. They are small rooms. Lots of people fuss that they're far from the main building. I would say it was a 5-minute walk at most. So I don't really put a lot of stock into that argument about it. I know people will be saying, but that 5 minutes at the end of the night, I get it. I do get it. But unless it's really something that's on your bucket list, I don't know that I'd stay there. I'm going to be honest with people. And I know I can hear little girls' hearts around the country breaking. They're like, but we love that room. But I'm just saying, I didn't think it was all that in a bag of chips. So there it is, my honest opinion.
All right. But, you know, here's what I say, though. If you want to do it, this is your only, this is it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to do it this time. Because short trip, and like you say, once the kid turns 3, your family of 5, you know, you got to get 2 rooms. So it's now or never. You're always going to be able to get into the deluxes because they're going to let you in with a family of 5. You're cool. But, yeah, the price is going to be up. So, anyway, I think you can't make a wrong choice. And, Rachel, I think you've got a great plan already, so you have a great trip next February. So that's going to do it for today's listener questions. Keep sending those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com, and we will answer those right away. Today's show, of course, brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. And, Ricky, let me ask you about this one because I read this, unfortunately, after it happened, like everybody else, with Memory Maker increasing in price just kind of overnight. That was kind of a surprising thing. And I caught that on a blog article over on Theme Park News Disney Edition, like everybody else.
Yeah, it was kind of like, surprise, we raised the price of Memory Maker. If you buy Memory Maker now, 3 days in advance, it's one... up to 3 days in advance, I guess I should say, it's $169, and 3 days before your trip or during your trip, it's $199 now. So yeah, that increased a little bit, but I think somebody I was reading that it actually decreased down to those prices. It was those prices before, so
it was actually more than that.
Then there you go. So it's better than it was? Question mark.
Is that Disney math? That's the Disney math where, like, you stay another three nights and it's cheaper than going home, you know, kind of thing. Like
that math always works for Foresters, let me tell you.
If we went home, we'd have to buy groceries, you know, and we'd have to pay the heating bill, you know, so why don't we just stay here? You know, it's only a couple
of have to do laundry. Let's use the facilities
exactly,
here.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, great articles like this, you know, keeps you up to date with everything happening that's going to affect your Disney vacation and the Disney company as a whole. Check it out today. Theme Park News Disney Edition, free iOS app over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got a great Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Come on over and join in on the fun. Of course, when you do that online shopping over on Amazon, please use our affiliate link. It helps so very much. And thank you, sincerely, thank you to everybody who is doing that. It is helping a lot. Just go through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon before you purchase anything. Costs you nothing extra. You still get your Prime benefits. Everything is awesome. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right. Well, that is going to do it for today. We'll be back again on Friday, and we're bringing back one of our more popular shows that you can participate in and play along as you run around the neighborhood, as you shop, as you, you know, clean the house. You can kind of play a fun game with us. We're going to bring it back. We're talking random Walt Disney World menus on Friday's show. So stay tuned for that. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.